Good evening, Michael Cohen here with producer Desi Simmons. It's Friday, July 29th. On today's program, foreclosure rates are coming down, but it's not due to the housing market picking up. I'll talk to an official at Realty Track to find out exactly what's happening. And state retailers are hoping for a pickup in business as the back-to-school shopping season begins. I'll talk to the president of the Michigan Retailers Association to find out how businesses are doing. But first, it doesn't seem to end. The national debt ceiling drama continues to heighten as next week's deadline approaches. To bring some clarity to the ongoing debate, I'm joined by Michigan State University economics professor Charles Ballard. Dr. Ballard has served as a consultant with the U.S. Departments of Agriculture, Health and Human Services, and Treasury, and also with research institutes in Australia, Denmark, and Finland. Welcome to the program, Dr. Ballard.
Thanks very much.
Now, the U.S. has been in debt for most of the country's history, so that's certainly nothing new. Although our climb from $2 trillion in 85, $4 trillion in debt in 95, and over $14 trillion today, is there a dynamic here that we've never seen before?
The only time in our history that we've seen such a rapid rise in debt was during the Second World War, where we, you know, the war effort led to a huge increase in government spending because the War Department was in the federal government, and we raised taxes a lot, but not enough to pay for the whole war effort, and so the rest was covered by what were then called war bonds. But no, this in peacetime, this is unprecedented.
Well, it doesn't look like we'll see a dramatic increase in revenues anytime soon. So are cuts going to be the primary path out of this situation? And then are we actually talking about Medicare and Social Security?
Well, you mentioned revenues. Poll after poll says that an overwhelming majority of the American people would like to see the Bush tax cuts for the highest income Americans rescinded, would like to have higher taxes on millionaires and billionaires. But the majority in Congress, the majority rather in the House of Representatives, is dead set against any tax increases. So,
Now, are you saying if we reverse those tax cuts for the rich, that in itself could be a big step in resolving this huge deficit?
It would be a step in the right direction. Of course, in my view, it wouldn't do the whole thing. We've got awfully big budget deficits, and unless we want to have much bigger tax increases, we will have to address the spending side. And you mentioned Social Security and Medicare. I certainly don't want to get rid of those programs, but I don't know if we can right this fiscal ship unless we at least trim them around the edges, and probably other programs as well.
Well, I want to focus on the revenue side just for a moment. So
sure.
If we are then to rescind these tax breaks on the rich, about how much more money would be coming into the national coffers?
Oh, I believe the number is something in the range of $700 billion a year.
Okay.
I'd have to do some homework on that, but it's in the hundreds of billions of years. So it would go a good way, but it wouldn't fully close these deficits.
And the idea of then increasing taxes on the middle class, is that something that you would argue for, or do you think that is a bad thing to do at this point in time with our economic conditions?
Well, I certainly I don't want to do anything precipitously. I think because the economy is still in fragile shape even 2 years after the official end of the recession, I don't want to have huge tax increases. I don't want to have huge budget cuts. I think we should have a longer horizon where we gradually but systematically raise revenues and lower spending. In terms of middle class, it sort of depends upon what your definition of middle class is. Almost everybody, including some people who are very, very affluent, considers themselves to be middle class. The president has focused on those above $250,000. Even some of those folks don't consider themselves to be middle class. You know, I don't want to raise taxes on people at the average income level. Average household income is about $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get to $100,000, $150,000, I think that those folks could chip in. But really, given that the huge increase in income has been at the very, very top, the billionaires, the millionaires, I think that those folks should should shoulder a fairly substantial amount of the increased taxes.
It looks like congressional Republicans are not going to agree to any deal that involves doing exactly that, raising the taxes on corporations, on the extremely rich in the country. Now, if that is not taking place, what does that leave us in terms of cuts, and what level of cuts do you see having to be made here?
Well, they would have to be substantial. And if you take the tax revenues off the table, mm-hmm. as the majority in the House of Representatives wants to do, but I don't, if you do that, that means that all of the burden has to be borne by the spending side. And if you look at the spending side, where is the big money? There are five categories: Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, defense, and the interest on the national debt. Everybody is trying to avoid a default on the national debt. You want to make those interest payments, so that's sort of off the table unless you want to have a financial catastrophe. Defense, that's a policy issue that we have to think about. I think some cuts will probably come from defense, and I think there's a growing consensus that maybe we've overreached ourselves in terms of our defense posture, but I don't see it cutting way, way back. Then an awful lot of the rest of it is income support programs, and I think we need to go gently. I'm an upper middle class guy, or maybe even a rich guy. I don't know. I make good money, so when my Social Security comes, when I retire, the estimate that the government gives me is that I'll be getting $30,000 or $40,000 a year. Well, you know, I won't starve even if I didn't have that. So if you could trim the Social Security payments for the upper income folks, I think that'd be okay. But I certainly don't want to trim them for, there are a lot of people where the Social Security is the only source of income that they have.
I'm talking to Michigan State University economics professor Charles Ballard. You know, everything you're saying certainly makes sense. It doesn't look, at least from the negotiations that are happening in Washington, that there's a lot of reasonable thinking at this point. Both sides have taken fairly solid positions, and nobody seems to want to compromise. You know, some say the mere fact that we're flirting with the idea of not raising the ceiling is putting our credibility into question. Do you think there is any damage being done to our reputation and trustworthiness when it comes to the international community by delaying taking action on the debt ceiling?
Oh, absolutely. It isn't catastrophic like it would be if we actually defaulted. But we look like Keystone Cops. And there is real financial damage being done as we speak, because it's already in the news. Banks, business firms, others are slowly pulling money out of money market funds that have a lot of exposure to U.S. government debt. And so I think that's going to probably lead to some increases in interest rates, even if we don't default. And the longer this political theater goes on, which, by the way, is really driven by the extreme faction in the House of Representatives, I think if they were less numerous, we would have already made a deal. But they're the ones who are driving this with a very rigid ideological agenda.
Although they were swept into office by voters, and they say they represent a real voice in the country that feels this way.
Fair enough. But I think, you know, it is interesting. I think, going back to what I said earlier, I've seen polls that say more than 70% of the population in the United States is okay with a tax increase on millionaires and billionaires. And we have a majority in the House of Representatives that doesn't want any tax increases at all. Well, there's a real difference of opinion there. I don't think that our House of Representatives is necessarily representative. I think what happened last fall was that people were just pissed off. And when they're pissed off, they vote against the party that's in power. But that, unfortunately, in my view, brought a lot of folks, brought some very reasonable Republicans to Congress, but a lot of folks who are pretty extreme.
Finally, most countries don't even have a debt ceiling, so they're not faced with our current situation. Do you view the ceiling as beneficial, or does it ultimately lead to the type of crisis we're seeing now?
Well, it's never led to this kind of crisis before. It's always been one of those things where, yeah, you grumble and complain, but then you go along because maintaining the full faith and credit of the U.S. is very important. But now it's become really a liability. Honestly, there are a lot of folks including President Clinton, who say that President Obama should invoke the language of the 14th Amendment and say, this discussion is over. We are going to meet our obligations. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether that's going to happen, and it would, of course, lead to a constitutional crisis. But
is there a benefit, though, in having a pressurized situation that forces us to review the way we're spending money?
I think we should be reviewing the way we spend money every day. But we should be doing it in a reasoned atmosphere and not in a crisis hothouse atmosphere. I think there's a lot of evidence to suggest that people make better decisions when they have time to really think calmly rather than in a crisis. And so this is a manufactured crisis, and I hope we get over it as soon as we can.
Michigan State University economics professor Charles Ballard, thank you for joining me.
Hey, thank you, Mike. It's always a pleasure to be on your program.
We'll be right back with more. I'm Michael Cohen. You're listening to 1320 WILS.